flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Friday.
Is it a football Friday?
I don't know. I was just thinking that myself.
Is the Pro Bowl?
Well, we got the flag football game.
Is that happening today?
It's a Dodgeball Friday here on The Fan.
Well, Dodgeball was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's happening today, but I did see that there's a line on it. You can bet on it.
Can you really?
Yeah.
I've often said you should gamble on just about anything, but if you're gambling on whatever this is, maybe it's time to call one of those hotline numbers.
The ultimate degenerate play is just a week away. People gamble on the coin toss every year there's nothing
fun,
to it.
Right? I mean, 50-50, why not? Throw a sawbuck on it, see what happens.
Well, just about anything else, you could try to find some kind of angle. There is literally not an angle with the coin.
Well, it's like going to roulette, man. Black or red. Let's go. Yeah, see what happens.
Well, roulette's pretty dumb. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's for people who like picking colors and numbers. There's not a lot to it.
I saw a thing the other day, and you know, I'm sure there's a million of these, but there was a guy, and he liquidated, I think this was like 4 or 5 years old, but he liquidated everything he owned. And I think it was like, I want to say it was like 200 and took out all of his saving, everything. It was like 200 and something thousand and went to Vegas and went to the high limit and put it on one roll of roulette. And he won. And it was freaking awesome. Now, granted, had he lost, is the saddest thing in the world.
Now,
but
did they film it?
Yeah, they filmed it.
Okay, see, I'm skeptical of that because they don't let you film those.
Really?
No, they don't.
You can't film just with your phone out?
No, you can't.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was just in Vegas and I asked the guy that because I had money from somebody that wanted, you know, that you do the cheeky, hey, put 20
on
this. And I asked the guy if I could film it. He goes, no, but you can film back that way, away from the table.
Huh.
So when they film those, I'm always like, okay, is this set up?
This goes back to the, you know, you should always be skeptical. I don't look, if they did it, I think it was at Caesars, and it was kind of an if they did it, they did it well, because it certainly looked like a full casino, and there were, you know, And it wasn't like it was a professional job, just like someone was filming it with their phone.
Well, it's possible that they cleared him. Best case scenario.
Someone walks in and says, hey.
Someone went to them and said, hey, I got something for social media. Will you allow us to do it here? And they were like, sure.
If
we'll take your bet.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If you come in and say, look, I am going to play one spin of roulette. I got $262,000.
I think they're going to let you do that all day.
Right? Exactly.
That's what they want.
Yeah. And you're saying, but I would like to film it. My guess is maybe there you get it filmed. I hope that's real. Otherwise, you know, it's like anything else that's on the internet. I assume so many of like the flight confrontations, some of that stuff looks staged and, you know, you never know.
So he won. He put it on what again?
It's like he's put it on black.
Okay.
So I think he went Wesley Snipes, which is you always bet on black.
So he wins 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. And he just.
So he got 200 and.
Whatever it was. Yeah, $260,000.
Maybe they wouldn't let you do that all that often. You know, that's. I don't know. I'm second guessing that. I don't know. It's. We need to call our guy Hugh from A&A.
The most I've ever done is when I was in Vegas for the old. Arena League. They flew me down for the tryout, which was the saddest thing ever. And I think I had $1,000, and I just put $1,000 on one hand of blackjack, and I lost. That was a terrible.
What?
I thought
you were going to say you won.
No. I don't know.
And it launched your radio career.
I don't remember how, but somehow I don't remember if it was. I just had $1,000. Maybe I like it was after I was done because it was like right after I was playing with the Buccaneers, and I mean it was so long ago. For some reason I had $1,000 and I thought to myself, I'm going to gamble. I'm going to play on one hand. Maybe it was that I just had brought it down there to gamble, and I thought to myself, I figure I have better odds to play on one hand. The longer you play, you know, the odds aren't in your favor. So I thought, let's just try one hand. And I think I got like a 17 or an 18, and I felt pretty good about it. And then the dealer went 20 and took my money. And I was like, well, that sucks. And then I went about my business.
I'm going to text Hugh. He has left A&A, but I'm still in touch with him. And yeah. I'm going to text him if a casino
would let you do that.
Well, they will. It's just, would they let everyone?
Yeah.
And would they let everyone film it? Because if they know you, they'll let you play.
Sure.
I mean, you know, those high roller guys, they know them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to text him and you're going to get an answer to that today. That's what we do. We answer these questions.
But yeah, that is the most I've ever played on by far on a single hand of anything or a spin or whatever, a roll. And, I wish I had a cooler story like, oh man, I won. And then I doubled it. And then it's just,
I had ace.
Nope.
And then ace.
Nope.
Split the aces.
The best part is it was a terrible casino, which is a terrible casino, which is where they put us up. And I remember the dealer just being like, eh.
Sorry.
I see it all the time. Yeah,
I was like, idiot.
Yeah, get out of here. It's like degenerate. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then just walked away, and that was it. Like, look, in all honesty, if you're going to play, if you have $1,000 to take down to Vegas, you're probably better doing that than you are sitting there and extending it out. I mean, the odds are not in your favor. So might as well just do that. See what happens.
Or just hold on to your money.
I
haven't learned that lesson
yet. What's the fun in that?
Exactly. That's what I tell my wife.
Yeah, put a little whimsy out there,
man. What do you mean?
See what happens.
It's only money.
I will say that, again, I wish I could remember exactly why I was doing that or what led to it. But I do remember, like, for that brief moment, I was alive.
That's right.
There was a pucker factor. And by the way, I was unemployed. I was not in the NFL anymore. And so that was like, there was a like, holy crap.
As I've said many times.
I didn't tell my wife about it.
I've said this many times because people don't often understand gambling, and I totally get why. It's really kind of a dumb exercise. It is not about the money. It's about the action.
Yeah.
The action stirs an inner fierceness in you.
Yeah, there's an emotion.
An excitement.
Yeah. I think it might have been that I had the money and I didn't tell my wife about it, so I figured, like, I can't really...
Yeah, she won't know.
Yeah, exactly. She won't know, and I couldn't really do anything with it, otherwise she would know, so I was like,
Now, this raises a question. What is the worst thing to bet on in sports? Is it the Pro Bowl flag football game?
Oh, it's gotta
be, can you find something worse? Like, I remember one time, Demers used to be around here, and you would give him crap for betting on NBA preseason.
Yeah. It was really disturbing.
I think this is worse, though. Flag football?
I bet on... now, to be fair, it's only one, but I do... for the last 3 years, I have bet on every Ravens preseason football game. Is that...
I mean,
but that at least follows a trend.
That's bad, but this is worse.
So, what you're talking about with Demers is, like, there's two kinds of bad. With the flag football one, it's like... there is no handicap. You are just throwing a blind shot and hoping your money doubles.
Yeah,
whereas if you think you're finding an angle on an NBA preseason, that might be worse because, like, you have a piece of you that's broken that down and you've got a knowledge of that you think is important.
Yeah. I just remember Demers all the time looking for angles. Like Washington State would be playing Portland State and he would have some sort of hot angle on it. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Do you think that the Little League World Series takes action? Because somebody said that's up there.
I think that they do.
They probably
do. I think they do now.
You can bet on that?
I'm not sure. You can't legally bet on this, but I think we've talked about it, and you can see it on YouTube, and fights break out, and I think at one point someone shot someone. Down in, like, South Florida, little kid football is a big deal, like the Pee Wee Leagues, and there is, like, bookies that are doing live bets at, like, six-year-old, seven-year-old Pee Wee football games. I would think that's got to be as bad as it gets, right? Like, if you're betting on... Well, you're betting on seven-year-olds?
Again, to Buck's point, if you're in the know down there in the little league football,
it might be a better bet, but it's a sadder commentary.
Yeah, it's sad, but you know, there's probably some money to be had there if you know what you're betting on. Now, AFC, NFC, Pro Bowl, flag foot, like, how would you even handicap that?
Just, I guess, who's playing, but it's a different game.
And
so
by the way,
you cannot
legally this. You'd have to go through a bookie. Little League World Series is out.
Oh, no. Okay.
You are unable to wager on the Little League World Series at U.S. Sportsbooks.
See,
now,
I think Bovada has had that before.
No, it's right here. It is illegal. U.S. Sportsbooks, FanBrule, DraftKings, all that. Now,
but Bovada's offshore.
Yeah, offshore, you might be able to. Because I will tell you, when you go over to the U.K., when I was living over there, you can bet on anything. You can bet on politics. I mean, you name it. And the bookies over there, like, there is a bookkeeper, a bookshop on every corner. It's like Starbucks over here. You think we gamble a lot? No. The freaking Europeans, those sons of guns.
Well, who are we betting on? We've got the NFC -1.5 over the AFC.
Are we going to do this?
I mean, theoretically.
Who's quarterbacking?
Yeah, I think, well, Goff is quarterbacking the NFC. I know that.
He seems like a great flag football quarterback.
He's one of them. The AFC, I think, like, Drake May's over there.
Okay, Hugh already got back to me.
I think we're taking the, I'm going NFC, man.
So it's, wait, sorry, did you say Goff against May?
Well, I don't know who the other quarterbacks are, but I'm taking my Lions. I'm taking the NFC.
That's probably why they're favored.
What's the spread, you said?
1.5.
Yeah, it's a pick. I'm taking the NFC right now. Let me go up my... Bet online.
So Hugh said that a casino would likely want to know. So the question was, can anybody just waltz into a casino and the casino would happily let them put a few hundred grand on black or red on roulette?
Yeah.
And he said the casino is likely going to want to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if they know who they are, that is definitely a bet that they want to take. I mean, you know, they're like, yeah, sure, let's idiot.
When you say
that.
Know who they are, just making sure it's, like, not stolen money or something?
Yeah, probably. Right.
Because isn't that the old adage, like you see in the movies, like, if you're trying to clean money, you take it to a casino.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
And I don't think they like that, which is why I think you got to take it to the Indian casinos.
Then they take you in the back and put your hand in a vice.
Yeah.
Is that what they call that, a vice?
Yeah, it's a vice.
I saw that in Casino.
Does that...
Jeff Ma situation?
You're getting into a whole other thing. Does that still...
I don't think so.
Can I run a... Because I feel like when I go to casinos now, like, it doesn't have the mob element, but I'm guessing that if I piss off...
Well, look.
Steve Wynn, I'm guessing he knows people?
Well, Steve Wynn is long out of the picture. He was canceled.
Steve Wynn's not running the Wynn anymore?
Oh, God, no. Oh. No, he got canceled. As a matter of fact, he can't even set foot in there.
Really?
No, he's out of Vegas. He lives in Florida.
I didn't know.
His ex-wife, Elaine, runs it, though.
I thought she ran the Encore.
She's around. Well, she has them both now. Well, it's a corporation,
yeah.
But she's on the board and the whole
thing. That's what I'm wondering. Will a corporate henchman put my goodies in a vice?
The answer is no.
Oh.
But.
Did this arrest me?
I would tell you. You know, you talk to people that are in the casino game. Mm-hmm. The casinos are most definitely not your friend.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, and they may offer you things because they want to get in your wallet, but they are not your friend. It is you against them.
Yeah.
And they will take that very seriously if that tells you anything. Now, put your balls in a vice. Probably not.
I would like, I want to believe that that's out
there. Your balls jiggling? But I think there's a room in the back that, you know.
Well, did you ever read that book, Bringing Down the House, about the dude who was doing the card counting operation out of MIT?
I did.
Yeah,
or at least heard the story. They made a movie out of it that I think Kevin Spacey was in before
he got canceled.
Was it
called Bringing Down the House? It was called...
I thought it was called Bringing Down the House.
Yeah, but I do remember.
Was that Ben Mesrick? Did write that?
Maybe. It's, yeah, the kid's name was... The guy's name was Jeff Ma, who was at the center of it, and it was like... They had like a teacher at MIT who kind of helped teach them how to do it, and then they started in Atlantic City. They started going to Vegas, and it wasn't. It's not modern times, but it's recent enough that they had people from casinos like trying to chase them down in Vegas to like intimidate, threaten,
yeah,
and you know, threaten with physical harm.
Yeah, by yeah. Like way. I said, it's an age old practice. I don't. Yeah. I mean,
I just think it's a better world when you know that sort of stuff is allowed to go on. Yeah, a little, you know. Well, eye for an eye sort of thing.
Shake them up a little bit.
Well, you know, if you wanted to be bold enough to try to cheat a casino, I feel like the casino should
take it into their own hands.
Certain leeway. By the way, we have an official answer, and I have looked this up. Since 2023, we were asking where is the line for the most degenerate thing in Little League World Series and, you know, little kid football. No, it's this, and it is legal now. The Supreme Court ruled on it. Would you, do you have, I mean, there's nothing. This is bottom of the barrel. It cannot get any worse. And yes, it is legal. You can do this.
Spelling bee?
No. Think Ooh. Much, much worse.
Well, I'm going to go with, and this is where?
In the United States.
Worse. In the U.S.
We can bet on this in the United States. We have been a part of this. We have not gambled on it, but think about, we have played a major role in this. We have given them lots of money over the years.
Hmm. Whoa.
This show right here. We might be responsible for like $1 million going to them. You should get this. And think about what would be the worst possible thing you could gamble on. I mean, you are a horrible human being.
Well, I keep going back to dogfighting in my head.
No, this is worse than dogfighting, in my opinion.
Human trafficking? What are we talking about here?
You can now, starting in 2023, you can gamble on the Special Olympics.
Oh.
There is... I'm telling you right now, you have no soul.
Something wrong.
If you are placing wagers
are
on the
serious?
Special Olympics. Yes.
An
the
edge
U.S.
An edge,
Supreme
man.
Court rule.
But goes an edge is an edge.
That is, there is nothing.
Hell yeah.
Their whole thing, their whole mantra is hugging and loving and laughing, and it's not about competition.
Well, then why do they give out medals?
Well, that's know? Right. There's a winner and a loser.
There's a winner and,
listen,
and a loser.
You know as well as I, we did a lot of work with them over the years. There's some competitive MFers in that.
Dude, there is nothing. If you ever want to ask, are you a terrible human being, simply ask, have you considered betting on the Special Olympics?
Wow.
Are you kidding?
I was not prepared for that.
Nor was I.
And you know what? If I got a good tip, I would do it. Like, why would I feel bad?
Oh, my God.
The Forbes
you
article.
You told me there's a lock? I'll throw $20 on that.
There is a Forbes article that says people can now bet on the 2023 Special Olympics. Quote, is this a good thing? No! No, it's not. It really, really isn't.
Well, if you wanted to make the case, you know, you can bet on the regular, you know, like the Olympics.
Yeah, you can bet on the regular Olympics.
It's athletes competing at a high level. It's there's no I mean,
yeah, you bet, are you about ready to tell me they're not regular people?
You know what? Yeah.
Come on.
This is discrimination.
Yeah, that's right.
You
why
ask?
Should we not bet against them any different than the
that's
other athletes?
Right. Why are we treating them differently?
Yeah. Let me be brave, let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. And also let me earn someone a little money. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think you're looking at this all wrong. I'm with Buck.
I think we hunt down an angle this next Special Olympics cycle.
We have some ins.
betting on some handicapped kids in wheelchairs. You're like, yeah, let's just do it. Why not?
Why do they have to be in wheelchairs?
Whatever.
Pretty unfair.
However you want them.
Pretty unfair.
Jeez.
In fact, I'm gonna back a wheelchair athlete, and I'm gonna win money on them.
Wheelchair basketball.
Sure.
Those guys are
or wheelchair
awesome.
Races. I mean, they're races
those?
Too, right?
Someone just said, gave me a great idea. I can't wait for the Special Olympics. Wow. Just, wow. Someone said it's called equality.
That's right.
I saw today that in Colorado, the table tennis gambling has doubled that of hockey gambling in the state. It's like $24 million
well,
last month.
We talked about this.
Yeah, yeah. You brought up the story about
you
how that's a big
anywhere.
Thing now.
It's a huge thing because apparently in table tennis, and I think that regular tennis has a little bit of this too, a lot of the people who actually follow those sports say it's one of the easier sports to bet on because the favorites almost always win.
Yeah.
The other thing is that there are games in the middle of the night when people are doing their degenerate addictive behavior, and the games are really frequent. They don't take long, so there's lots of turnover. So the people that just need to keep betting, they just have something to do that on.
By the way, February 22nd, there is a Special Olympics basketball South Regional tournament in Corvallis.
Oh, baby. You tell me we could bet on it and witness it in person?
Well, I think that's our fact-finding mission. We go there and...
It's scouting.
Scout.
For the big leagues.
March 1st is the Basketball North Regional, and that's at Wilsonville High School. So we scout out the teams.
Just down the street
South
from
Regional,
my mom's
and
house.
Then, yeah.
Okay, we'll send Buckley to the South. I'll go to the North.
Yeah.
We'll get this covered.
What are we doing?
We're betting is what we're doing.
Oh, my gosh.
Finding an edge.
I love money.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have Joey Harrington today.
We're all going to hell, but all right.
America, yeah!
He'll be on 5:30.
Yeah.
We do not have football.
No.
As much as they're trying to corkscrew football in this weekend, we don't.
Smiles and glory holes.
He did it again. What is with Jerry Jones and glory holes?
Wait.
That was Jerry Jones.
What was the smiles?
Well, he just was saying not everything is
smiles. He's like,
smiles
not everything could be
holes.
Smiles and glory holes, and I don't know what that means.
Like,
I
always say things aren't
means.
Always like Razzleberry Froger.
Yeah.
Stones. Apparently, Jerry Jones goes with smiles and glory holes.
That's his version of that.
Smiles and glory holes.
I just look, that should not be like when you're thinking, like, ice cream and puppies is another one that I hear people use. Smiles and glory holes.
You hear rainbows and butterflies?
Yeah, Jesus, Jerry. Second
Man,
time he's referenced
We are
it.
Learning a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, we are learning a lot.
Well, we're going to start with fun football audio next on The Fam.
You have got to be smoking something over there.
All right, coming up, we have a new NFL coach. Maybe. Well, most likely. Do you know who it is?
I do not know who it is.
What? But first,
audio. We think.
Sports audio, football audio. I've got perhaps the worst sports argument of 2025 for you.
Okay.
And then we've got Eagles bro mic'd up at the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And we want to play a little bit of that
it's
for
It's fantastic. It's some of the best trash talk you'll ever hear.
But first, it's Cam Newton.
You all right?
What?
What? You just...
Cam Newton.
Came to a weird abrupt stop there. I was like, huh?
It's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Did it again.
What?
He is on some stupid show wearing some stupid hat and glasses.
Yeah, so with Stephen A, I think.
That's what he does.
Yeah, I don't know. Stephen A's on like isn't Stephen A on like a million shows?
He's on a lot of shows, yes.
Whatever. Who cares what the show is? It's these two guys talking and Cam Newton, I believe I don't know if this is in the question.
It starts with Stephen A's question.
Okay. Yeah. So take a listen to Cam Newton's answer. This question and answer with Stephen A. Smith. And perhaps the worst sports argument of 2025?
Okay.
We've got a former league MVP right here on the set right now in Cam. I ask you, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship.
Nope.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Because you have to ask it through this lens. That was a very journalistic viewpoint or vantage point or response, Stephen A. Ask you this question, and, you know, just to pose this thought. What's more important, impact or championships? You look at a guy like Allen Iverson, or you stood up on the table and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan. Everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's not going to be these individuals who have the luxury of saying, hey, I not only dominated this sport, but I also have championships to back it. Like, let me remind you, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So, yes, when you look at those guys and you say, okay, what's more important? Would you have preferred to win a Super Bowl? I think that that's the humble approach. But if we're being honest, the impact of you holding yourself accountable to say everybody has a responsibility to do. And you can say as an MVP award winner or All-American, you've held yourself or you've held your end of the bargain down. And that's what it really comes down to for me. I know that's not the popular pick. I'm not trying to be popularized, but My take is I'm taking individual success because I did my job. Football is not about one guy trying to do 11 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's 11 guys doing one job. And if everybody does their job best, famous words of our coach, Belichick, just do your job.
I'll do it.
Well,
what?
At least he's honest.
I guess.
He's honest.
What do you think of that?
Well, all right. First off.
You think a lot of guys think that way?
Okay. Two things. All right. I need
spit
to
spit it out.
I need to break this down because I'm trying to be fair. Because I think Cam Newton gets a bad rap. Cam Newton was really good, and I don't think we appreciate Cam Newton for how good he was. Cam Newton was really, really stinking good. And he was. He was an MVP. He was no Nick Foles. And so this is where I think the argument gets a little that it's a little disingenuous because he brought up Brad Johnson, he brought up Nick Foles. Now, to say, would you rather have Cam Newton's career or Brad Johnson's career? I think most people would take Cam Newton's career, even though Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl and Cam Newton does not. This is the Charles Barkley thing. People ask Charles Barkley, would you trade careers with Robert Horry? And Charles Barkley's like, no. Robert Horry was a decent six man, was a journeyman. I was one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Yes, he won titles. I would not trade my career. I don't think that's an ignorant take. Okay, so when you bring up Brad Johnson, you bring up Trent Dilfer, that's completely different because you're taking, again, journeyman may be a strong word. You're taking very, very average quarterbacks that happen to win Super Bowls. Okay, but to say that you would, I'm trying to think like Joe Flacco. Now I think that's a little bit different because Joe Flacco had a really nice career, right? Dan Marino wouldn't trade careers with Brad Johnson simply for a Super Bowl, but would he trade careers with, Steve Young, who only has one Super Bowl, right? Like, all of a sudden, you're like, well, maybe I'll take Steve Young. Steve Young isn't as good as Dan Marino, doesn't have a good numbers, but Steve Young won a Super Bowl. So I think that argument gets a little skewed there with Cam. I do think it's interesting, though, that Cam brought up, and this is where I'll kind of go at Cam, he brought up 11 guys being accountable. Cam Newton in the Super Bowl went 18-41 with a pick. In the biggest game, and that was your MVP season, that was your best season when you carried your team to the Super Bowl, you played one of your worst games you've ever played. So, you know, that's
Von Miller ate his lunch, right?
Yeah, that's a little wonky. You know, you can't go 18-41 and throw a pick with no tutties in the biggest game and say that I was held accountable all year. Well, you also played like crap. It wasn't your own fault. I mean, your O-line let you down, but you lost 24-10 and you played the worst. So, look, I think we can all agree that Cam Newton is a bit of a jackass. I think Cam Newton probably isn't for everyone. I think Cam Newton sometimes has horrific takes, and this is where you get in trouble. I feel this way about like Michael Irvin. Just because you're a Hall of Fame player doesn't mean that you make any sort of real sense or that you, I think, are a good analyst when it comes to football. But
Is Cam Newton an analyst now?
I think he's more of a hot take guy.
I see him around.
You see him around.
He's definitely making the rounds analyst now, or at least doing something to supplement the old income.
But at least I'll give Cam this. Yes, I think there's more athletes that side on that side than we realize. It's just that most would always say the easy thing, which is, of course, I would trade my MVP for a Super Bowl. And again, for someone like Allen Iverson, who only won one MVP, Allen Iverson would certainly trade his MVP for an NBA championship because Allen Iverson is one of the greatest players of all time. And he still would be one of the greatest players of all time, even if he never won an MVP.
But Nick Foles is trading a title for an MVP. Because that means he's just a way better player and made more money.
Yes. Yes.
So he's trading that thing.
It's a disingenuous argument because
Using bad examples.
He's taking apples to oranges and he needs to be doing apples to apples.
Yeah. So who are the apples to apples then?
Again, I would say that the one, like,
Lamar trades his MVPs for a title right now?
All three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he does too.
He does too. Yeah. Because again, even if Lamar didn't have three MVPs, and by the way, three MVPs puts him in really rarefied air. And he hasn't won the third one yet, but he's going to. He's basically a slam dunk. Lamar would. I have no doubt in my mind that Lamar would be like, yes, I don't need an MVP. You don't need an MVP to solidify yourself as one of the great quarterbacks of all time. I do think you do need a Super Bowl ring.
So
otherwise, you end up being Dan Fouts or Dan Marino.
Well, yeah. So the argument is the worse the player, the more they'll take the MVP.
Yes.
The better the player.
Yes.
The more they don't care and they want the title.
Yes. So it's just Cam being...
But he's a better player
yeah.
who's saying he'd rather have the MVP.
And the problem with Cam is, and I think this is where that mentality comes from, I don't think Cam gets viewed as a great player. I think Cam gets viewed as a really, really good player. He was never a great throw of the football. The advanced analytics were never that good. It ended very poorly for him when his shoulder became crab meat, and it ended with a whimper. Remember, no one wanted him as a backup, and I'll bet you that Cam Newton is, behind closed doors, I'll bet you Cam Newton is really bitter. I think that Cam feels like he has always been slighted. I feel like Cam is probably very angry when I listen to him about the way his 11-year career is viewed. And while the Super Bowl, this is his point, and I think it's a valid point. Nick Foles can hold up a Super Bowl trophy and say, I'm a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And I think the idea is that if Cam had a Super Bowl, I think a lot of people would still view Cam as more Nick Foles than Drew Brees. But the MVP lets him give you the middle finger and be like, F you, I was the best player in the NFL. And I think to him who feels disrespected, I do. I think that makes him feel better. And do I agree with it? No, but I see where he's coming from, and I don't think it's as...
It makes him harder to tear down or attack or whatever. It's like an extra barrier of defense for him.
Yes.
Yeah. It also says a lot about him.
Yeah, it does.
And maybe not my quarterback. Who's
no.
that? Was that Terrell Owens that said that?
My quarterback.
That's my quarterback. Well, that is not my quarterback.
I mean, even if I asked you just right now, the best dual threat, the three or four best dual threat quarterbacks.
Lamar Jackson.
And his name, like, I'm just saying, Cam is an MVP, and his name is not going to come up.
Three or four best?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah. I'm not certain his name's coming up, and I'm not even talking about quarterbacks. I'm just saying dual threat quarterbacks.
You're not talking about quarterbacks?
Well, obviously, his name doesn't come up if I give you the best quarterbacks of all
time. He's not saying all quarterbacks, but
I'm just saying the best dual threat quarterbacks
That's
of all time.
That's actually a good question. I mean, it'd be Lamar.
Mount Rushmore of dual threat quarterbacks. Who's on it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I think this is what pisses him off.
Steve Young.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Josh Allen on that?
Didn't see it.
It's going to be.
Herein lies the question.
Newton was better than
Vic. But Vic's got the rep. Like, right now, I think the collective sports public thinks more of Michael Vick's playing ability than Cam Newton's playing ability.
Yes. Yeah. If you bring up Michael Vick and you bring up Cam Newton, people will laugh and be like, dude, Michael Vick all day. And I think that's what, at the end of the day, really sticks in his stupid little hat with nine playing cards in it. And some of this is his own thing because he's made himself a...
He's
kind of made himself
a
joke.
He's been pretty unlikable.
Yes.
And yet Vic was the guy who was fighting dogs and was like public enemy number one.
And yet is...
And now he's like a college coach.
Yeah. Now I got to look. Did Michael Vick ever win an MVP?
No.
Because he was real good.
I'm going to look at
the cover of Madden, though.
Tell you what I'm doing. Tell you what I'm doing, fellas, during this next break.
Best mobile quarterbacks?
No, he never won an MVP.
I'm comparing Newton to Vic.
And that'll be Cam Newton's FU to Michael Vick, and all that is, hey, I've got an MVP and Michael doesn't.
So who do you think is on the Mount Rushmore
We'll do it when we come back.
Do you have four?
I do have four.
Am I on it?
Man, that injury.
Your Pheasant Bowl performance, how far does it take you?
That knee injury.
All right. We got a new coach in the NFL, most likely, and a little bit more football audio for you. Here is Buck.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we were talking about Cam Newton, who said he would not trade his MVP for a title.
And I'm backing him. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I think there's a path to where you can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him, but okay. I mean, you know,
it's
his opinion.
It is.
I did look at Cam Newton versus Mike Vick statistically.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Except for one thing.
MVP.
No. Well, there's another one. We'll talk about it.
Well, Newton, so just to compare. Mm-hmm.
Dogfighting.
Well, that is, yeah. That is a stark.
Yeah.
Unless Cam Newton was a dogfighter.
Not that I know of. But he did wear dumb hats and still does.
Cam Newton was 75-68 in 144 starts. Yeah. Mike Vick was 61-51 in 115 starts. So pretty similar.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, 85.2 quarterback rating for his career.
Yeah.
Mike Vick, 80.4.
Yeah.
And then touchdowns, interceptions, Newton 194-123 and Vick 133-88. And if you average those out, they both average about 2.7 interceptions per attempt.
And Vick really obviously had the weird, you know, he had a blip in his career. I just wish you could have gotten old Michael Vick when he actually learned how to play the position. Remember, he went to Philly and he said Andy Reid actually taught him how to play the position. Had that version of Michael Vick, if you could take young Michael Vick and be like, hey, man, just give me a year to figure out what you're doing here, and you could have really had something special. I played with a guy who was an offensive lineman with Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, and I'm not here to drag on Vick. He just said, you've never met a more undedicated, unserious player. And their playbook was so, so simplistic. A lot of times it was basically give the ball to Michael and get out of the way. And he was that good.
So Newton threw a better touchdown percentage, but they were about the same in their interception percentage.
Yeah.
And then rushing, Vic had more yards, 6,109 to Newton's 5,628. Mm-hmm. But Newton had way more touchdowns, 75-36.
And this is where I think there needs to be an appreciation for Cam Newton. Cam Newton had 75 rushing touchdowns.
He was goal line
guy. And not only that, but Cam Newton got tough yards. Like, there are some guys like Steve Young deserves to be on this list. Steve Young was one of, like, Steve Young, Fran Tarkenton, Randall Cunningham. These guys walk so that Lamar and Cam Newton can run. But Steve didn't run in between the tackles. Steve ran because they were scrambles. Cam Newton literally, like he was the run game for them.
Yeah, and Vic was more of a speedster, more like elusive.
Cam was just a truck. I don't think people appreciate how big and physical Cam Newton was. So Cam is on my Mount Rushmore.
But he's a tight end size guy.
Yes.
Vic averaged 7 yards per attempt, which is crazy.
It's stupid.
And Newton averaged 5 yards per attempt.
Again, some of that is, you know, scrambling, getting to the edge. And Cam would – look, if it was 3rd and 3, Cam will get you 3 yards. This isn't just, hey, we're going to scramble. There were design runs. And I used to always say the part I didn't love about running quarterbacks is you can't hold up over years. And Cam did – he held up for a while and then, you know – again, you get hit in the shoulder, and then he couldn't throw anymore, and his career was cut short. So he was kind of his own victim, and he never really developed into a really true pocket passer, which, you know, that's on him. So, okay. But if I'm doing my if I'm doing my Mount Rushmore,
and this is just dual threat quarterbacks.
Dual threat quarterbacks. To me, Lamar Jackson. I've never seen anything like him. He truly is. He's Michael Vick, but knows how to play the position. There's a reason why he's a 3-time MVP. If he ever wins a Super Bowl or two, look out. It's scary. It's scariness. To me, Cam Newton. I think he was the first dual threat guy that spent 10 years actually being a dual threat guy and truly was the best runner and thrower. I mean, he was different. No NFL quarterback has ever run for more touchdowns, 75 touchdowns. In fact, the closest behind him is Josh Allen. But you look at Lamar, Lamar only has 33 rushing TDs. Cam has 75. That's just, that is silly. And then I'm putting Steve Young in mind. And then because of the shortness of the career, I'm going to take Randall Cunningham. I wanted to put Michael Vick right there, but I'm going to go with Randall because, again, I think he was a true pioneer. And I also love, much like Vick, Cunningham learned how to be a quarterback at the end. And in Minnesota, those were the best. I mean, he was scary good. And I still can't believe that Minnesota team didn't win a Super Bowl. So Vic misses my list simply because of the missed time and just wasn't quite there. But if you gave me this a second time, I might flip Vic and Cunningham. But Lamar, Cam, Randall, Steve Young. There's my list.
What's yours?
Oh, what's mine? Well, or are you asking the listeners,
else,
the collective
you?
I don't know.
Who else do you think I'm talking to?
I don't know, the listeners.
There's no one listening to us.
Okay,
no.
Fine. Well, I'm taking Steve Young. I'm taking Josh Allen. I mentioned this in the break. Part of that is bias because I've won more than I should have on Josh Allen anytime touchdowns. He just gets in the end zone all the freaking time. But also, like, he's still maybe yet to reach his prime, and he's getting better still. So those two guys, plus I'll take Lamar and Cunningham.
Oh, Lamar Cunningham. Okay. So you left Newton off.
I left
of,
Newton and Vic off.
Yeah. Well, he left Vic off, too.
Yes. It was close.
Dexline wondering if Patrick Mahomes should count as a dual threat.
I was going to ask that. Is he a dual threat guy?
See, this is my difference between dual threat and...
He scrambles.
He's not a primary run option like these other guys.
There's a difference between someone that scrambles. Aaron Rodgers was a great scrambler. John Elway was a great scrambler. The difference is, and this is why Steve Young to me is kind of borderline, it's the difference between getting out of the pocket, extending plays, and picking up first downs, and someone that is an actual threat. When you game plan against any of those guys, they are part of the run game. And with like Lamar and Cam, they were the main focus of their run game for many a moon. Same thing with Michael Vick. So that's why I consider Mahomes a great escapability and a first down. He is a mobile guy, but a dual threat, you're cutting hairs.
We got a new NFL coach, most likely, and our last bit of football audio next on The Fan. Do you guys have Seb Straka at the AT&T?
I do not, sorry.
No, I'm only on Justin Rose and Lucas Glover.
Okay. How's Lucas Glover doing?
He's in the mix.
Is he? Good.
250-1.
More interested in the TGL myself.
No, you're not.
No, that's a lie. He's not.
Lie.
I'm all about it.
Nope.
Can't wait for the when's Liv started. Hey, they got a TV deal.
Great.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching Liv Golf.
No, you won't.
In their little short shorts.
You won't be watching anything.
I'm going to be watching someone in
John Rahm yell at some drones and all about the loud music.
I want John Rahm in some hot pants out there swinging. Let me see those thighs, Johnny.
So let's power rank before we get back to our task at hand here.
Yeah, we have
a task. I want you to power rank in order of what you would watch to least watch.
Mm-hmm. And I have to watch something.
Liv Golf.
Yeah.
TGL.
Ooh, double ick.
Or, I mean, I won't use Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
They're playing at Pebble right now. Yeah. I won't use that because, you know, cool course to watch.
Last week's Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, the farm, well.
God.
Let's go. The American Express in La Quinta.
That is so painful. All right.
Power rank.
I'm watching TGL first.
You are?
Yeah, because it's over like in an hour, right? That has to be like the.
No, I don't think so.
It's
2 hours.
Is it?
I think so. I don't know.
Right. I'm taking that because it's one day, like hour 45, and I'm out.
I'm not saying you got to watch the whole tournament. I'm just saying, you know, it's like I'm giving you, you're sitting down,
yeah,
and you have a cocktail, and you're like, yeah, whew, yeah, what a long day talking to Rob. I need to watch some sports, and those are your three options.
Those are my three
what
options.
Are you turning into? Tuning into.
And I got, I only have to watch for an hour.
Let's give you an hour.
Give me an hour.
And all you right. do have to watch it.
Generic golf, PGA. I'll watch the Honda Classic.
Okay.
Whatever. Then.
That's a Jack's course.
Sure. Why not? Give me the Genesis Open.
Okay.
Whatever.
That's at the Riv,
yeah,
but not this
it's
year.
Not, it's, yeah, it's moved. I'm watching that. I think I'm watching TGL, and then I think I'm watching Liv.
Liv last.
I just.
Wow.
I refuse to support that hunk of crap. I absolutely refuse to support it.
TGL, not a hunk of crap.
Yes, it is a hunk of crap, but that's a hunk of crap that's going to die. That hunk of crap that's lived, not only is it sticking around, but it really has done damage. The TGL isn't damaging anyone other than people that are forced to, like Scott Van Pelt that's supposed to pretend he cares about
Now, apparently golf is under attack from the YouTubers. Have you seen this, Isaac?
Oh, no, why?
Oh, well, I mean, people are saying that YouTube golf and like YouTube golf content is far more appealing to the younger generations of golfers.
Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau.
Not Bryson, the Paige Spiriniacs of the world, and all like, and then there you got these like these good golf guys or whatever. Like apparently the ratings, we've seen golf ratings tanking for a while, and now they're saying that the YouTube and the content creators may have something to do with that.
Listen, I get that. I really do. You know who is king of that? There is someone at our station who says that to me. He's like, dude, I go play golf, but not because I watch freaking Scottie Scheffler.
Joe Fisher?
It's because I watch YouTube and these, you know, there's a bunch of guys that go out and they film their rounds and they do fun things with the golf cart.
There's a guy that's popular that I see. He hits driver off the deck no matter what.
And things like that. Yeah, and they're fun and funny. It's way more interesting.
But there's cool ways to get tips too. Like you can say, oh, I'm having issues with blah blah blah. Like I'm not going to sit around to wait an hour and a half to see somebody chip that I know their name. Like that's I could just watch somebody chip over and over again and get that part down.
I hate to say this, but that's a totally fair thing. I get that.
Yeah, but it's been a big talking point this last week in golf.
Yeah. Well, golf is, this is where this is why we have TGL.
They're trying to
sort of bridge that gap, even though they're doing a terrible job at it. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Trying to make it more interesting and fun and lively and exciting. Yeah. But it's not.
Who's the guy at the Fan that's
Ortner.
Oh, well, God.
Ortner loves golf. Yeah. He likes to play golf. Yeah. And he's like, I don't watch golf. I watch YouTube.
Will is a walking, he's a walking stereotype.
Of the next generation of sports fan. Yeah, he is. He absolutely is.
That is
brosive. I think my kid gets a lot of his golf stuff from that.
Probably.
From, like, little Instagram clips or whatever.
I would bet most people under 30 do.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man.
So, but yeah, Liv, I can't. I just... You know, that whole thing just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I'm at that age where, my feelings towards something, my hypocrisy knows no bounds. But there is an element of, I just find that whole thing to be slimy and smarmy. And I choose, when it comes on, I'm like, oh, my God, this. And even though it would be better golf to watch than whatever crap TGL's throwing out there, I don't know, there's something, it's so unappealing to me because of what's behind it. And just how shameless it is, because it's crap, and the only reason it's around is that some really, really bad organization has like $1 trillion, and they're like, we don't care, it's yours. And then that's just, there's something fundamentally broken about that for me.
Look at that. We just talked golf.
Give me the Honda Classic.
All I had to do was mention Sepp Straka, and Soup launches into golf talk. I love that.
Sepp Straka.
That's your boy.
Gold
remember?
Jacket, green jacket. Who gives a
I told you something about him 2 weeks ago.
I remember you did say something about Sepp
Straka. He shaved his head.
Yeah.
He's young, but the guys on tour were giving him crap because his hair sucked. They're like, dude, you need to shave that thing.
And he did. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse.
And now he's winning again.
Brock Bauer. Yeah, that's all right. Because I was like, Brock Bowers, I'm looking right at you. Dude, just let it go, man. It's all right. Let it go.
All right. Well, guess what I'm going to tease for the fourth time?
Golf?
More audio?
We have a new NFL coach, most likely.
Yes.
And more football audio.
Because we only have one team that doesn't have a coach.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Saints.
The Saints. That no one wants that job except for this guy?
It sounds like
ripped his ass, quite frankly.
Sounds like they have their man. We'll get to that next on The Fan.